the Fed simply has to fold its outlying short gold hand into a central bank wall of physical buying. It has to.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
A big hi to everybody. Welcome. Now, Shane, poor old Shane, is not feeling well enough to host this week's Live from the Vault episode today. Shane, my friend, we all wish you a speedy recovery, mate. And thanks for forwarding our subscriber questions. Of course, ever the trooper, accumulating them. But today we have a guest host, but this is more than just a host. This is a real friend, not just of Kinesis, but a personal friend of mine. And he needs no introduction. As soon as you hear his voice, you will know who it is. And it's Craig Hempt here, of course. And he is stepped into the breach to read out the questions that Shane had accumulated. And of course, in the meantime, we really look forward to Shane bouncing back to health. But thank you, Craig, for joining us, mate, and really appreciate it.
Hi, Andy. We've had a lot of comments on the last episode that was recorded back on April the 3rd. And man, prices have really moved in the 2 weeks since then. As we sit here on April the 17th, we're up some $150. Everybody wants to know what you think has happened and where you see things going from here.
So in our last market episode, we focused on four main inputs. A look at the first quarter gold and silver footprints so as to guide a forward view. A second quarter prediction and beyond. And why the Fed has to fold its gold suppression hand. And of course, we also have updates on next month's BRICS summit. Now, I will look at updating all of those today. Now, in our last episode, recorded on the 3rd of April, as we began the second quarter, that was, we started by connecting the footprints during the first quarter, where we evidenced a $210 rally, and it was from 2055 to 2065. So, exceeding our 2200 end of quarter assessment. Now, as we move further into the second quarter, following last Friday's pushback against gold and related silver, everyone knows what we're talking about here. We will update our second quarter target assessments, which have a lot to do with our certainty that the Fed simply has to, no choice, but to fold its gold suppression hand by the end of the second quarter. First, let's deal with the elephant that entered the casino the moment London and Europe cleared for the day and the end of last week on Friday. Notably, that was an attempt to chart paint a bearish lower weekly close in gold and silver. They both failed. You can see by the gold chart and the silver chart. That's important. Now, drilling down, liquidity providers noted the extremely illiquid COMEX-centric conditions that enabled the Fed run cartel, and I mean to the tick, to take back the $2 rise in gold and silver that had followed the pit close cutoff on Tuesday. Now, if you remember, the COT cutoffs are from Tuesday to Tuesday, and that's pretty much where all the reports are based around that, on that, and a lot of decisions are based upon this extremely stale-dated report, deliberately stale-dated. But it was no coincidence. They took back the $2 rise in gold that followed this pit close cut off on Tuesday, and that was at 27,984. Alongside, they also took back the $86.40 rise which had risen into 2,448.80, which was the high. And basically, they took it all the way back to where the COT cutoff was on that Tuesday at 2,362.40. Now, both to the exact tick. Now, it says it all. I mean, really, these illiquid conditions created a COMEX-driven gap close. They just weren't coincidences. And anyone that thinks they were coincidences, and of course, none of our subscribers would even think so. They were part of an attempt by the Fed to create a self-fulfilling, chart-painted gold correction narrative. That's what they were attempting to do, to create a weekly close lower than the prior one. Now, this attack, and there's no other word for it, followed liquidity providers reporting the cartel banks had been short-squeezed, severely wrong-footing them into relentless Chinese gold buying, which was actually concurrent with a supply-squeezed, starved-for-supply Indian silver market, which after blowing through technical resistances at the all-important 26225 Rubicon line that we'd outlined in our last episode, had seriously wrong-footed the silver cartel too. Now, although the scope of these official sell-offs are limited as to how many CTA speculators, the commodity trading advisor speculators, that they can grab, lead by the nose to dump their unbacked naked long positions, and because there's always these speculators who are non-sticky and who just literally chase momentum. And it was very obvious that there was sufficient speculators that had become vulnerable to be rinsed out into such a thinly traded event. And it telegraphed that it would be par for the course to actually evidence that these CTAs, being tricked into taking profits on their gold and silver futures positions, that's really going to be par for the course. So now look, these specs, they're either long or they're short. They're never on the side. So they were then tricked into going short, which is exactly what the intention was. But we see these regular speculator rinses to be actually very healthy. What it does is it uses up bandwidth for the cartel to ignite a much larger CTA-driven centric sell ignition gap. In other words, you know, we sometimes see a rally from a certain level to a certain level, and there in that is enough speculators to actually rinse them out and close that gap. So by having these corrections along the way, it actually limits, it avoids igniting. If it really stretched to a long way without a sell-off, then that sell ignition could really exceed and really take root. And so basically what they did was gap close it to the levels where the strongest aggregated physical support levels are located. They don't want to go beyond those levels. Now, while the rising higher gold prices are beginning to be accepted by physical buyers, and this is the point, is that as the prices rise, they rise too. But if the gap gets too high, they still haven't risen enough to take it back to that level. So meaning that this is where the largest physical gold bids are aggregating. And that's the levels the cartel do not want to trigger. So if the speculator-driven buyers gap above these physical buy levels and have grown too large, it's so easy. It's easy pickings for the Fed-driven cartel to rinse them out. Now, look, if you're a stacker, so what? I mean, ultimately, it will take a hell of a lot more dollars to buy the same amount of gold and silver bullion in the near future. But if we're looking to optimize our physical buying to jive with where the central banks are buying, then these levels are best assessed by where the insiders' options footprints are migrating. Now, the reason it is of interest is that these levels are where the highest probability buy levels are rising to.
Well, Andy, as you and I both know, it's never just straight up in the precious metals. Bull markets are two steps forward and one step back, usually, kind of that spec wash and rinse you and I usually talk about. So in this current environment, we've been going up, but there will be pullbacks. Where do you see the support levels when we finally do begin to consolidate?
Yeah, let's briefly look at the option structure and then dissect. Now, it's important to look at this because there's very little reporting going on in the, and I mean, we talked about delayed reporting. When you, the COT report, 3 days old in a picosecond world, that's ridiculous. And actually the data is available, but it's deliberately held back. So when we do, when we do get a report that we can look at, we do like to dissect it a bit. Now, from a gold futures market perspective, the cartel is still very wrong-footed at 2,250, at 2,300. But this resistance drops away rapidly above 2,400. However, this is the over-the-counter derivative positioning that is their problem. It's the over-the-counter derivative positioning that is their problem. And given that this is where the global price is actually set, not so much in the COMEX, reflecting very large physically settled SGE premiums, liquidity providers see these arbitrable disconnects to ultimately to drive 3,000 spot gold to be still be magnetic, regardless of this structure. And it's seen in this structure too. A very short term, we may see the CTAs tricked into going short. They already have to some degree. However, the very large central bank size bids building under the market between 2,000 and 2,300 spot have not been touched. And we would suggest the cartel would be very careful not to drive the CTAs to leverage themselves into these central bank bid levels. As they failed to do, the cartel failed to do this on February the 14th. We looked at this last time when the CTAs controlling, don't forget, they control over 75% of all the speculative open interest. They ignited so much of a gap that it ran straight through 2,000 spot, hitting these central bank orders, which in turn caused the cartel a world of pain. And they should be wary, as this was the catalyst to drive a two-month 450-buck rally into last Friday's all-time high at 2,448.80. These are the futures prices. Now, liquidity providers estimate that by breaching freshly aggregated central bank bids at and sub 2,300 spot, and there's about a 16-buck difference between spot and futures, it would once again blow back on the cartel, but from a much higher price. Now, given the rising technical 10-day moving average, we always look at these because it's a place where the CTA long stops can be fished, and it was a no-brainer. This was two-way rinsed. And as of today, which is Wednesday, at spot gold, 2350-ish, which is another level where this is where the 10-day moving average is at 2350, which is another level where we see central bank bids are beginning to build. So it's not ideal situation for the Fed.
Andy, as usual, my friend, you are all over the silver market as well. Just spot on. You called that breakout above 26. I know we're waiting for some closes above 28 and 29 as well. But now that we're above 26, where do you see the silver market headed here in the near future?
Yeah, yes. So silver options footprints relate to the silver cartel. And just like gold, they're also very interesting. Massive support has now aggregated well above that 13-year resistance level at 26,225, that the level we outlined as the major inflection point. And now, even though they are desperately trying to defend a rise in silver, we see resistance at $28 beginning to evaporate, with the next short squeeze inflection point at $30. So In fact, talking about gaps to fill, this is to the upside. Now, you can also get gaps to fill. When you have a lot of longs to rinse, then it can be a downside gap. But when you've got a lot of shorts to rinse, who really are naked short, who don't have anything to deliver, you can also see gaps to the upside. So so there's a gap to fill to $35, then to $50. That becomes, starts to get magnetic. And because really at this point here, you've got a race for the exits. And as it then becomes more of a bid-only market. So relative to gold, silver really ought to be $200 right now. And a breach of the 50 level will commence a parabolic silver move higher. Now, given the strength in Indian and Chinese silver demand, bolstered by safe haven, geopolitically driven demand as well, once the current CTA-induced selling settles, a strong physically driven rally will resume. Note, physically driven. Now, so really in summary, from a short-term perspective, when weighed up with what we see in the over-the-counter markets, where a very large over-the-counter bearish options bet was actually reported to have been squared on Monday, hence the low that was made on Monday, these options footprints confirm the cartel's wrong footing in both gold and silver futures. You have to look through to the 10 times larger over-the-counter market. However, like it or lump it, the LBMA CME-centric cartel is restricted to how much rinseable CTA open interest, i.e. how many chips that these casino chips these guys hold, how much is available, and to the degree that they can actually incentivize these specs to flip short following the attempted chart painting objective of trying to instill this gold correction narrative, which of course would become a silver correction narrative. Now look, to some degree, these officially spun narratives can gain traction. But the scope of these sell-offs are limited to gaming the blinkered CTAs, who being siloed in the only, and they're only allowed to trade the US-centric markets, they have no view into the underlying strength in the global physical wholesale markets, and completely oblivious to the fact that gold and silver markets are increasingly being physically settled outside the LBMA, CME, ring fence, synthetic casino offerings that these guys are restricted to trading. Now, because technical conditions are reading overbought, so a lot of technical traders will look at it and say, it's overbought. Hey, so it, and this is exactly how, where the Fed steps in and goes, well, it's overbought technically. So in the paper markets, that is, and bear in mind that these technical levels have been historically anchored in paper, gold and silver, which is changing. So you have to be very careful when you start saying, well, it's oversold, overbought, or it's oversold. So it has to correct. Now, these technical conditions are reading overboard, but each day they unwind. And as the prices start to stabilize, then at higher prices, that really accelerates that unwind of that overbought condition. Now, look, we're not completely out of the woods yet, but footprints suggest that this synthetic balance to carve the next higher stair step to rally from has actually largely been achieved. And given the physical markets are rapidly jumping the Fed-run cartel's ring fence and are being settled, that is benchmarked to a physically settled deliverable Sino-Russian dollar price, net of what can be laid off on these useful fools, the scope of adding paper market supply begins to push on a string. So really, to sum up what happened on Friday and Monday's low, despite being able to paint as much, basically the Fed can print as much cash paper gold, fiat paper gold as they want, But it's how, but being able to print this, there was a limit. And how much do they dare is the question. It illustrates the Fed is holding an increasingly weak hand. The very strong over-the-counter gold and silver fixes into each day's liquid sessions leading into this Fed-driven official intervention attempt, it says it all. And note the timing of the raid. And you have to look at this because most people just say, well, it collapsed. Don't realize what happened. And basically, the timing says it all. Basically, it did not go unnoticed too. And that what they did was they were forced to execute. They were forced to wait until the instant. I mean, I'm talking the millisecond that Europe, London, and then Asia was already absent. But the minute that Europe and London joined the absence of Asia, that left just the COMEX. The soulless COMEX-driven session was able to close those gaps I just described back to the prior Tuesday COT cutoff levels. In fact, when looking at the officially published COMEX COT reports, which had already captured that $80 rally in gold futures and a very large $2 rally in silver, the report actually illustrated very little in the way of institutional resistance into essentially 2 months of successive higher prices.
This commitment of traders report you mentioned, Andy, is something you and I have been frustrated with for years because they survey it on Tuesday and they don't give us that information until Friday, 74 hours later. Why do you think there's behind that delay? And what do you see in the current reports? Are the banks and the commercials kind of struggling to contain the price?
A picture is worth a thousand words. So to best illustrate, here are the latest two reports. And as I've just noted, buried in these reports, as you can see, given the large $8,000 per contract higher price in gold and a massive $10,300 price higher contract price in silver, you can see there was very little pushback from the cartel into these large rallies. And given that the predatory swap dealers, that's where the SD is, the swap dealers and the producer merchant, the PMs, net short COMEX positions, you can see here they're actually, you can see here that their reported positioning, but they're actually being hedged in the NSFR compliant, 10 times larger, physically backed over the counter markets. And that this is what makes a farce of this report, as the hot money, the managed money, MMs as they're listed, they just don't understand. Because the over-the-counter hedges to these shorts are not reported to them, it's easy to see how they get wrong-footed by taking these deliberately opaque COMEX reports at face value. Yet under the covers of this report, despite the huge breakout rally falsely suggesting the cartel is net short some 570 tons, and just the swap dealers, net short some 570 tons of gold futures positions. From this side of the pond, we continue to see the LBME market-making banks long for their own books and with all the shorts stick-handled on behalf of the Fed's account. But they are reducing too. Now, it's sure that the Fed is at best as possible trying to manage to exit of the largest component of 8,133 tons of largely rehypothecated treasury positions, spurred by our liquidity report, is an overwhelming queue of foreign central bank repatriation requests. Now, note the outright refusal of the Fed to answer congressional Freedom of Information requests on the status of these unaudited treasury holdings. These are the footprints we're focusing on. With every single other global central bank buying gold in anticipation of a higher gold price, the Fed simply has to fold its outlying short gold hand into a central bank wall of physical buying. It has to.
Next, Andy, what are you hearing about China? Can you share with everybody what we were chatting about before we got started?
Yes, and this also ultimately leads into the current beta testing of Glazyev's soon-to-be-announced gold-backed currency. Now, while Westerners focus on the intraday and intra-week market swings, China takes a more pragmatic, longer-term view. And with lessons learned following the weaponizing of the SWIFT banking system against Russia in 2022, China is increasingly encountering friction relating to Taiwan and facing down the US in the South China Sea. And these geopolitical escalations are not going unanswered. Not just what we see in the currency crosses, where China swaps dollars for the NSFR compliant gold, but China is now also sanctioning the US businesses providing arms sales to Taiwan. Now, this thing is starting to step up. However, this all leads into the larger picture. We are absolutely certain that following Russia's lead, China has stepped up the process of divesting dollars aggressively, accruing thousands of tons of physical gold. This is not reported. And aside from the sanction-proofing mandate, gold priced in dollars at prices below $3,000 are viewed as grossly undervalued. And it was no coincidence that the usually thinner Asian-facing AM fixes. Now, remember, you have an AM fix and a PM fix. And we talked about it last time. The AM fix is generally a smaller fix with most of the settlement done at the PM fix. Not so. We started seeing the AM fixes beginning to evidence large Chinese buying. And this means, despite every attempt by the Fed to try and call a paper market top, as far as the physical markets are concerned, there is no nearby price ceiling to the gold rally, which commenced just 2 months ago on February the 13th, from $2,000, that is, followed by the near vertical stair step leg that was ignited at 2150 on March the 25th. And as we noted last time, this continued without pullbacks, and that was until the Fed intervened at 2448.80 last Friday. Now, as we drew attention to in our last episode, during the last week of the first quarter, we'd noted the distinct change of behavior around these Asian-centric, Chinese-driven AM gold fixes. Now, with Indian buyers having switched horses to silver because higher gold prices, they were avoiding higher gold prices, we began to evidence very, very aggressive Chinese buyers populating this fix. Now, in fact, from the 25th of March, we evidence 7 sequentially higher AM fixes in a row. That is unprecedented, and it points directly to China. And it was this action around the usually thinner AM fix that telegraphed an impossible-to-ignore change in behavior, with these buyers surgically attacking the paper gold cartel's mantra of selling paper gold at every pit open, which they did in the hope they could suck in enough CTAs to hold their coattails and to take the bait. Being circled back on. And we have increasingly drawn attention to the fact the Fed's officially driven paper gold price suppression mandate has just become far too obvious and was simply being capitalized on through the EFP, the Exchange for Physical Conduit. We talked about it. It's just the back door of the COMEX. It's the only ability to get a paper gold contract out into the compliant over-the-counter markets where they are deliverable. And so basically what that was doing was forcing the exchange of non-compliant, that is 97% leverage COMEX open interest. In other words, all these positions are only backed by that a tiny percentage of the value of those contracts. And it forces them to be fully funded into NSFR compliant physical bullion landing in London. Now, this constitutes a huge unwind of COMEX leverage, and at the margin is limiting the scope of the Fed interventions. Now, as an update to what we reported in our last episode, so as to give an idea of the scale, into the $260 rise from the low of the first quarter, which was 1996 and change, to 2256 and change, into the end of the quarter highs, these COMEX outflows comprised, as we said last time, 875 tons of NSFR compliant bullion, which is a quarter of all 2023 global mine production on a one-way trip out of the COMEX casino. Since then, so far this quarter, gold has tagged this fresh 2448.80 futures high, evidencing another $191.90 per ounce all-time high. And as of yesterday, and we're recording this on Wednesday, we've evidenced another 144 tons of EFP outflows. So just during this quarter's first 11 sessions, these COMEX EFP outflows have now exceeded 1,019 tons of COMEX opens interest being drained and converted into physical, forcing the full funding of over 1,000 tons of 97% leveraged, undeliverable COMEX supply that is draining sufficient COMEX open interest chips to be able to lay on rinseable CTAs, speculators, who are easy to flip out. Now, the Fed only controls paper gold to fight an increasingly physically settled gold market. And the exit of sufficient casino chips is what is causing the Fed to begin to fold its short gold hand. So just trying to give an update here. So very short term, it takes illiquid trading windows, such as we saw rigged on Friday, to front run insider known news events, and there's been reports where the BLS has actually admitted that they have preferable clients who get the data ahead of time. So we've already said, and I remember when I used to deal with the CFTC commissioner Bart Chilton, he said these newsrooms are really leaky, and they could put an end to it, but there are clearly inside tracks here. So when we say insiders, we mean insiders. So the Fed can orchestrate thin conditions, news events which are inside known, and they can attempt to chart, paint a narrative around those, but only to the extent they can wrong foot captive COMEX specs. This is what I'm really trying to drive home. But medium to longer term, the battle is already lost.
Okay, Andy, one last thing. Mainstream media, as usual, is lost for explanations as to why gold's going up. Bloomberg, CNBC, every day. Analysts are befuddled by why gold continues to rally. You and I know it's a physically driven rally this time. What are you hearing about what's going on behind the rally? Who might be driving it? And does it have anything to do with this eventual introduction of a BRICS gold-backed currency?
Yes. Now, given the breakout gold rally has only largely been driven by invisible over-the-counter-related monetary gold transactions, what is confusing the analysts trying to understand the gold rally, why this gold rally, and why there's been an increase, while there's been an increase in the LBMA CME centric flows, they actually don't jive with the scale of this rapid gold price rise, and namely what is officially flowing into central bank coffers. So the entire issue leads back to the mainstream media still not understanding the implications of gold being reclassified by the Bank of International Settlements as a first-tier asset class on the 1st of January 2023. This event is what opened up a large increase in unreported, bilaterally settled central bank and sovereign monetary gold demand. It isn't recorded on the COMEX at all. This means that central banks, sovereigns, and institutional bilaterally settled spot gold over-the-counter buying now has to be physically deliverable. And by their very nature, these bilateral transactions are unreported. And this opens up spot gold, over-the-counter gold purchases, to feed central bank monetary gold purchases. And the lion's share of this monetary gold is being accrued by the BRICS-related Sino-Russian Gold Alliance, which was established back in 2013, but it really waited for this first quarter of 2024 to pull the trigger. Now, if we look back on, historically, that these central bank purchases were being coordinated in concert with Russia and China activating the recent beta testing of Glasyev's green-lighted BRICS gold-backed commodity currency in readiness to be formally tabled ahead of the BRICS May 14th to 19th Kazan summit next month. Now, it's gone unnoticed that this is a multi-trillion dollar project. It requires some very, very big money to be put into physical gold. And we have it on good authority that to do this surreptitiously, China has been deploying its very large 3.25 trillion of shadow banking reserves. And we'll look at the effect of this beta testing of Glasyev's green-lighted gold-backed commodity currency. But let's first look at how vast tonnages of gold purchases have largely sidelined the LBMA conduit. This explains why the analysts don't get it. Now, while Russia had largely already divested itself of dollars in June 2021, openly announcing they were removing dollars from its national wealth fund, as of this March, China's State Administration of Foreign Exchange, the SAFE, S-A-F-E, reported holding officially 3.25 trillion of US dollar assets. And while at the margin, it has served China well not to openly dump dollars, it is the over 3 trillion of unreported shadow banking reserves that are surreptitiously being exchanged for bullion in large tonnage size. Now, if you recall, in our early January 2024 episode, we drew attention to a little reported Bloomberg report that focused on the concerns made by former US and Treasury official Brad Setzer. We talked about this before, that China's reported 3.24 trillion of foreign exchange reserves comprise just half of what he estimates is closer to $6 trillion, which he expressed as presenting a new risk to the global economy. Now, the reason I revisit this now is that the sanctioned crosshairs are now shifting to China and incentivizing these dollar assets to be stealthily deployed. Because if sanctions are put into place, and we all know what happened to Russia, and if there any kind of situation with Taiwan comes in, or the face downs in the South China Sea become, or a mistake is made, you watch those sanctions getting slapped down. Now, Setzer was actually concerned that China's lack of transparency posed the West a major problem. And he made the point of saying, because China structurally is so central to the global economy, that anything it does, whether it's seen or unseen, would have actually eventually have an enormous impact on the rest of the world. Those were his words. Now, given Setzer now sits on the board of the Council of Foreign Relations, it's not surprising this elephant in the room, Bloomberg report, is being glossed over. And as reported by Setzer, around half of these additional 3 trillion of unreported shadow bank reserves are salted amongst the state commercial lenders and the policy banks. And given that monetary gold reserves are also categorized as FX reserves, the question is, how much of this multi-trillion dollar shadow banking pile salted inside these state-held banks comprises of FX gold that is being converted into physical bars. Now, our very well-connected Chinese contacts have for some time been reporting these stealthy dollar-to-gold conversions. They commenced in 2010, and we've looked at that before. Then it ramped up significantly after the dollar was weaponized against Russia in March 2022. Now, most recently, this gold buying stepped up significantly on the 20th of March of this year. This all concurs as to why, despite aggressive official capping efforts, spot gold blew through 2,150 at that very date. Now, while reported Chinese gold buying is being attributed to retail Chinese demand, there is no doubt that it is the concurrent drawdown of this unseen central bank demand that is also tightening available physical supply, which is why it forces the offer to sell physical gold to rise. Now, this counters reports that gold is synthetically being driven higher by large options derivative bets. Wouldn't that just suit everyone's narrative? But in summary, these cross currents create uncertainty, which indicates we may be offered some opportunities to capitalize on the officially spun gold correction narrative. But this completely ignores the fact that the gold markets are now being physically settled outside the LBMA CME ring fence. This all leads to the BRICS May 14th to 19th Kazan summit next month, which we drilled down to in our last episode. It focuses on the second of Glasdev's two currency baskets, which is backed by commodities and gold. And following 2 months of beta testing, Glasdev's green-lighted BRICS currency baskets will be formally tabled and tested. And when formalized, it raises the revaluation trigger point, very likely forcing a knee-jerk reaction from Western central banks to up the ante before the end of the June second quarter, perhaps even. Now, given the BRICS 10 plus members control, and more to come, they control the lion's share of the multi-trillion dollar oil and energy complex, the scale of this upcoming de-dollarization process just cannot be underestimated. Now, the BRICS adoption will significantly raise the dollar price of energy and oil, of course, feeding an unwelcome inflationary input into the West. It won't alter the gold price, it'll alter the dollar price. In fact, one of my most respected liquidity providers, very closely associated with the Russian-Chinese markets, sees very recent geopolitical escalations and the increased weaponization of the SWIFT clearing system to seriously bring forward the implementation of Glasnev's gold-backed commodity currency. And given the scale of this, $3,000 gold is now the very, very bottom of most assessments. And we're seeing $3,000 gold now being assessed by Bank of America and other banks. Now, given current geopolitical escalations are accelerating, Russia and China's efforts to open up fresh sanction-proof trade routes and clearing systems, the de-dollarization process is rapidly escalating. And none of this is yet factored into the paper gold price. And we would expect to see the first central bank gold revaluations within this second quarter. So I see us entering a window of opportunity to join with a big race by global central banks to swap our rapidly depreciating, unbacked fiat promissory notes for physical gold and silver bullion. The race is on, and the only question left to ask ourselves is how much physical gold and silver do we own?
Andy, thanks again for all the great explanations this week. Again, as we've been discussing, the mainstream media, as usual, totally lost for an explanation. You get headlines every day, analysts befuddled as to why gold and silver are headed higher. You filled in the blanks, and now we all know. It's a physically driven market, and it's going to be very fun to see where we go from here. Your best source of information every week is Andy and these Live from the Vault broadcasts. Make sure before you leave that you hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're watching so that every time there's a new episode of Live from the Vault, You'll be sure to be notified and you won't miss a thing. We'll be back soon. Hopefully Shane will be feeling better and back into the seat to host things. But for now, we're going to sign off. Thanks again for watching Live from the Vault.